This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Pin Chasers, which has three locations throughout the Tampa Bay area to serve you 7 days a week. Breakfast bowl special, 7 mornings a week. Late night specials, 5 nights a week. Cyber bowling on the weekends. It's a destination for birthday parties, group outings, league play. You never pay for your shoes at Pin Chasers. And even if you don't have the right socks, just tell them and they will offer you a free pair to wear with those free shoes. Pin Chasers has 50 lanes at 4847 North Armenia in Midtown Tampa, 40 lanes at 5555 West Hillsborough Avenue, just east of the Veterans Expressway, and 32 lanes in Zephyr Hills at 6816 Gale Boulevard. Congrats to Anthony Peroni on his 60th anniversary with Pin Chasers in the Tampa Bay area. For all the specials and for more information on everything I talk about, go to pinchasers.net or just follow Pin Chasers on Facebook. They're very active on social media, reminding you of specials that they have on a regular basis, daily, weekly, and throughout their 60th anniversary. The Todd Wright Toddcast is also presented by Full Torque Fitness. Daniel Shipman is present at every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament, normally with an associate of his that he works with. And it's very simple. They want to help you get more out of your golf game, and they'd like to ask you the following three questions. Do you experience low back pain as a result of playing golf? Do you become tired as a result of playing a round of golf? Do you feel your hips are not working properly when hitting the golf ball? If you answered yes to any of these three, Daniel can put you through what's called a Titleist Performance Institute screen. It identifies your limitations, helps remove them or reduce them to get more out of your game. If you want one-on-one training, Daniel can offer that. If you'd rather go a little less costly and do small group training, that is available as well. Just talk to Daniel Shipman, one of the most detail-oriented, passionate guys I know as it relates to what he does. 727-351-5164 or visit fulltorquefitness.com. That's fulltorquefitness.com. Daniel and his associates offer complimentary stretching on massage tables prior to every Todd Wright Tour golf tournament. So if you did answer yes to any of these questions and you're playing in Todd Wright Tour XXII coming up in a month at West Chase Golf Club, then you can simply talk to Daniel one-on-one and get more of an idea of whether or not what he does will help you. FullTorqueFitness.com. Let's start there because 1 month from Todd Wright Tour XXII, amazing. I hosted my first golf tournament back on October 25th of 2015. It was done in conjunction with the guys at JoeBucksFan.com, and I had approached them and said, I know you do all these Bucks watch parties. Have you ever done a golf tournament and a watch party? And the response was, no, we'd have no idea how to do it. And I said, would you like me to take a crack at it? So the first one was actually golf in the morning, followed by a watch party at then the Leroy Selman's location in Carrollwood, which is now a Glory Days, as many Leroy Selman's flipped to the Glory Days brand within the same ownership group over a number of years. I was just starting out. I just wanted to see if I could host an event like this. And we had a great crowd, and virtually everyone shook my hand, thanked me when they left, said they had a good time, and said, when's the next one? I had no intention of having a second one. Now I'm hosting my 22nd one, and already booked for number 23, number 24, number 25, and soliciting bids on number 26 in September of 2020. I use the Roman numerals to market and create logos for my tournament based off the Super Bowl model. I was always into the Super Bowl logo. Love that they use the Roman numerals. And it has worked out very well for me. Also, like most people, I always appreciated the new look every year of the Super Bowl logo, which Roger Goodell effectively ended with Super Bowl XLV, number 45. That was Green Bay beating Pittsburgh at Jerry World when he standardized the Super Bowl logo. And it has looked pretty much the same for the 10 years from Super Bowl 45 to this year's 54. It feels like it's trending in a direction to modify the logo more and more going forward because they're not selling as much merchandise. People don't get into the Super Bowl logo as much as they used to. And it was a bad move, big surprise, made by Roger Goodell at the time. Prior to that, there were all these different fonts and logos and colors and looks for the Super Bowl logo, building up from the beginning through Super Bowl 44, which was also the last Super Bowl that I attended and covered down in South Florida. That was the Saints beating the Colts. Every Super Bowl I have gone to, I've also gotten a jacket from that game, usually a quality sort of heavier coat, so I don't get to wear it a lot since I live in Florida. But when I get on planes to go places that are a little cooler, I'll wear the jacket. I'll wear it to various NFL venues if I'm going there. If I'm in Vegas and it's cool at night and I'm going between the casinos, 99% of people go out of their way to compliment me on the jackets because of the unique logos on them. They appreciate them. They ask about them. They say who played in that game. I offer who did the halftime show as well. So I bring that up because I'm going to tie this all in. I started a new project recently with Tampa Bay Sports and Entertainment. Tampa Bay Sports and Entertainment is the Lightning. It is University of South Florida Athletics, and it continues to grow. And via the social media engine that is the Identity Tampa Bay, which you can follow on Instagram, various social media platforms, it's a website, it's an email blast, etc. Over the last year, I became connected through a mutual love for sports and golf with the man in charge of the Identity Tampa Bay. And we had been talking about various ideas where we might have common interest in doing something like this. But instead of me talking into an audio file that you listen to as a podcast, they'd put a camera on me and we'd do a webcast. And we do a show that way. And they do other shows as well, specifically on college football. Ira and Derek Brooks do a Tampa 2 show. And there will be more and more programming coming from the Identity Tampa Bay. The newest program is the one I'm involved with, and it is called, and a title they came up with, not me, What Are the Odds? They wanted to get ahead of the curve because legalized sports gambling was made as such by the Supreme Court ruling a while ago. Some states move faster than others to do what is necessary to make it legal for people within those states to place sports wagers, which they previously could not do unless they were in the state of Nevada or offshore or online, etc. So now every state has the right to legalize sports wagering, and the federal government is no longer going to stand in the way. The teams want to get their cut. Local organizations that have been involved with casino gambling or paramutual wagering, which is horse racing, highlie, harness racing, greyhound racing, which is going away. That was also a law that put an end date on greyhound racing. Also wanting to basically continue in this field. The National Hockey League is all for this also. And the Identity Tampa Bay thought, let's just do a show for the remainder of the football season and let's talk about football odds. And they asked me to host it. You can find it via the Identity Tampa Bay or via joebucksfan.com. And I want you to watch it also knowing that one of the only reasons why I agreed to do this show was on the condition that I made no picks. That's right. It is a show that gives you the odds, gives you analysis, but I do not give you any selections. That's all you. That makes this show unique. I'm not a tout, and I've always tried to do things in a unique, creative way and different. So check it out for yourself. It's pretty quick. It's anywhere from 4 to 5 minutes. And I get all the odds from my longtime friend, Jay Cornegay, who is the director of race and sports at the Las Vegas Westgate Superbook and has been doing it for nearly 30 years. The first time I met Jay Cornegay was when he brought in the original sports radio station in Tampa Bay, Sports Radio 910, to do a bunch of shows all week. And I was part of this, and Dumig was part of this, and Derek was part of this, and we all went out to then the Imperial Palace and did our shows back to Tampa Bay from the Race and Sports Book at the Imperial Palace, which was Center Strip, and has since changed names and thankfully upgraded at least the hotel, the elevators, and some other things. And Jay, a number of years ago, moved on to another property. But that's where this all started. So check that out. It is flattering that Andrew at the Identity Tampa Bay, who works with some really nice people down there, wanted me to do this project, and we will do it through the Super Bowl. And then we will wait to see where the state of Florida is and maybe where the NHL is on whether or not you can go to a Lightning game or down in South Florida, Florida Panther game, or and make a wager on the game itself. And if so, then the show might just continue without football. If not, it will return again next football season. I'm probably giving you too much information, but that's the way I've always been. The first episode posted on joebucksfan.com, and there were two comments immediately on the message board. And it was the second one that I want to call out here on the podcast, if anyone knows who this dickhead is. He posts on the message board under the name Buddy, which is probably not his name. And of course, message boards are generally for people who want to post and not be accountable, just as I've talked about in a previous podcast with a fellow dickhead named Fort Myers Dave, who I have invited on multiple occasions to bring his shit to my attention directly by putting his name on an actual email address that he owns to write.todd@yahoo.com and explain himself. which he is too cowardly to do. So I'm offering that now to this fellow dickhead named Buddy, who didn't bother actually watching the episode of What Are the Odds. It was the first episode. And all he said was, bro, another sign of a true douchebag, someone who uses that as the first thing out of their mouth. He noted that I was wearing a jacket from Super Bowl 39. Of the jackets I have from the 7 Super Bowls I attended, that's the one that gets the most compliments. It has the old AFC logo on one sleeve, the old NFC logo on the other, the Jacksonville XXXIX on the front and on the back. Not this dickhead. No, Buddy, or whatever his name really is, says, why should I take betting advice from a guy wearing something from 15 years ago? Buy some new clothes, bro. Well, listen, dick. You just can't appreciate the jacket, and the closest you'll ever get to attending a Super Bowl is the Uber you drive someone else to the game to in February 2021 in Tampa. And I also invite you to grow a pair of balls and give me your real name and email and write me and tell me something yourself. You don't even know what the show is about because you're so freaking ignorant. And for those of you saying, Todd, why are you worried about this? I'm not worried about it. But when I called out Fort Myers Dave, a number of you reached out to me and said, I like the passion. I like that you do this. I like that you stand up for yourself and you call out people for what they say. You're holding them accountable as I hold other media members accountable, as I hold sports personalities, players, coaches, general managers, owners, and of course myself accountable. So that's why I'm calling out bro, Buddy on the message boards of JoeBucksFan.com. So if you know Buddy, tell him write.todd@yahoo.com is expecting an email from him if he has the balls to be accountable for his false statement about what the show is even about, let alone why I wear the jackets that 99% of people actually have the intelligence to appreciate. So check out What Are the Odds? It generally is going to be available on Fridays. There might be some changes to that, say for the upcoming Thanksgiving week, etc. But again, this is a show that talks about the odds, offers them to you, offers you analysis of them. I do not give you picks. There's no touting here. I'm just simply giving you the information. That makes the show unique. So in the spirit of that, what are the odds Freddie Kitchens survives this season? I have been waiting for months to talk about Freddie Kitchens, head coach of the Cleveland Browns. And as I talk to you right now on Friday evening, a little less than 24 hours after the ending of the Browns' 21-7 win on Thursday Night Football over the Pittsburgh Steelers, now is the time to talk about it. Most of you, well, probably not Fort Myers Dave or Buddy, but most of you are aware of what happened at the end of that Thursday night game. And you've already, to your friends or on social media or what have you, have formulated an opinion on the incident and probably the suspensions that were then handed down on Friday by the National Football League. I'll just make one observation off Friday night, actually two, from Thursday night before I get to Freddie Kitchens. First of all, I was stunned. Virtually every person involved with the incident was talking to live cameras, live mics, and media, both locker rooms and podiums representing both teams. It's refreshing, but also I think it was really stupid. And it shows a lack of PR from both teams to get out in front of this and perhaps say, you know what? He's not talking. Mike Tomlin stood up in front of everyone. Now, as the head coach, he is basically required to do that. And he just made it clear he wouldn't comment on it. And he didn't. But virtually everybody else involved or other teammates were. I don't know that that was the right thing for many of them to do. Did I listen to every word? Yeah. If I was the PR director of the Browns, would I have had Garrett talking? No. The defensive tackle who'd later pushed Rudolph to the ground talking? No. Would I have had Baker Mayfield comment on it? No. Then I also thought that NFL Network's on-site people, and that's a bad crew anyway. I know we all have our opinions on these various games and who is involved. But they had Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. on set and were talking about what the win meant from what I saw and sucking up to these two players from the winning team rather than addressing what virtually everybody in the universe has been talking about for the last 24 hours. And I'm sure they brought it up to Landry and Beckham, but then they quickly moved on to other things, and there were no other things. Yes, the game is a win. It is in the books as a win. The win did not matter from a news standpoint. So the NFL Network, honestly, should be embarrassed by how they handled the postgame on site with everyone on that set by talking about anything but what happened at the end of the game. And if Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry don't want to talk about it, then fine. Then they're not on the set. Because I didn't give a shit to hear what those guys had to say about winning the game and anything but the incident. All right, so now let's talk about Freddie Kitchens. Because he was also talking about this. He spoke openly, he spoke honestly, and at times he felt challenged by reporters saying he condoned fighting. You know, when the Browns made all these moves and in the offseason and started to move in the direction of being a more competitive franchise, the biggest flaw in the plan to me, and I've alluded to this on this podcast, on my television appearances, on my radio appearances, on the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and to Browns fans, one of which I've been texting for the better part of the last 24 hours, who says, can't enjoy the win, embarrassed by my team. And she's right. My biggest red flag, and I think more than anything else, it's the reason why these Browns are coming in under expectations and have an incident like this, is they don't have a head coach. They don't. He's not head coaching material. Maybe one day he will be. He's not head coaching material. He doesn't know how to run a football team. All the penalties, Beckham doing whatever he wants, Mayfield shaving multiple times within a game, Myles Garrett knocking multiple Jets quarterbacks out for the season with penalties earlier in the season and something like this. And I know I'm not alone on this. There's another national sports host who said, boy, even before the incident, boy, it sure looked like the Browns were enjoying going headhunting last night. Knocking Juju Smith-Schuster and James Washington, was it? Out of the game with concussions, helmet-to-helmet shots. Mac Wilson was even caught by freezing cold takes, tweeting and deleting a photo mocking Juju Smith-Schuster for giving him a concussion. The internet, of course, saved it. But Mac Wilson, under @5MacWilson1, basically posted a photo of Juju Smith-Schuster crumpled on the ground with text saying, on in the next game. So you combine all the penalties, all the unrealized expectations, the headhunting, Myles Garrett's behavior in this game, and it reflects on the head coach. He's not a head coach. The Browns named him a head coach simply because of Baker Mayfield. How's that working out? I know Mayfield had a decent game last night. And you know what? It was a shitty football game. It really was. It was more of a football game worthy of the Monday Night Football crew than the Thursday Night Football crew. Freddie Kitchens is not qualified to be a head coach. And Todd Haley today, and I know he has some skin in the game, said on Sirius XM Radio, Kitchens deserves scrutiny for the way his player Myles Garrett acted at the end of Thursday night's game. Haley said, this falls squarely right on the head coach because the head coach talks to every assistant coach who then talks to their group of players. And there's an old saying in coaching, you're either coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. Pro Football Talk went on to write, Haley noted Garrett has had multiple fines this season for personal fouls, pointed out that Odell Beckham has twice been forced to change out of unapproved equipment, once his shoes and once his tinted visor. And again, add in all the penalties, all the unrealized expectations, some of Baker Mayfield's goofy stuff. And then this? Yeah. It's a head coach who has absolutely no control over his football team. None. And holds none of them accountable. Some are saying, why did the Browns wait for the NFL to render a verdict on their players? I thought it would have been a hell of a move for the Browns to just step to a microphone early Friday morning and say they had cut Myles Garrett, they had suspended the defensive tackle, and they had fired the head coach and perhaps even fired the defensive coordinator. That didn't happen because, well, that's the Cleveland Browns. Serves them right. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Pin Chasers, three locations in the greater Tampa Bay area to serve you, 4847 North Armenia Boulevard, 5555 West Hillsborough, and 6816 Gale Boulevard in Zephyr Hills. And also by Full Torque Fitness. Call Daniel Shipman at 727-351-5164 and talk to him about how he can help you feel better and play better golf. Or visit FullTorqueFitness.com. That's FullTorqueFitness.com. And remember, check out the first episode of What Are the Odds via the Identity Tampa Bay and also on JoeBucksFan.com. We'll talk to you next time.